Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 5th of December, year 2018. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Worldwide Change is Coming. Are you ready? And then Phil from Orlando will report on the latest demonstration in Daytona Beach about 9/11 Truth and the USS Liberty. And later in the program, we'll have some of our men call in, and we will discuss MGTOW, which is men going their own way, and what's happening in our society as far as the male-female relationships. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father, Yahweh, who is the Great I Am, and we also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen across the ocean, Shumai, and welcome to the program, Kumru and Beth. Callers are welcome. We do ask that you keep your comments and or questions as short as possible so that others can participate. We are in the question and answer mode, which means one participant at a time. You will be automatically muted when you contact the station and then unmuted as I come to your questions or see your hand raised in the chat. Our website is www.pastordan.net, and that's where you'll find archives of our programs. You will also find news items about health, about politics, about faith. Also references to study websites and authors who have put out a lot of good books. For instance, Pastor Lawrence Blanchard has a great series on your biblical heritage, which I'm in the middle of reading book number 3 of that series, and it is extremely good. And I can see Phil up in Orlando is already joining us, so let me unmute him and welcome to the program. Phil, welcome to the program, buddy. Can you hear me? You might have to unmute your phone, Phil, or your computer. I guess you're on a computer. Sometimes you have to click on the little telephone icon or whatever to join the call. Let's see if... let me try to get Phil here. See if he's any of the other listeners there that are on the chat, if you're able to hear okay, let me know, would you please? Let's see. Okay, Phil, I've unmuted you at my end, so it's got to be at your end. There's some either a button or an icon that allows you to join the conference. Everybody else is saying that the audio is good, so... If that doesn't work, let me see here. Yeah, Phil, we can't hear you, buddy. Let's see if he can use his phone, because that might be what works. There is a learning curve to using a free conference call. I guess it's not as intuitive as I once thought it was. It depends on your browser, the version of your browser, whether you're using your phone or whether you're on a computer. And unfortunately, there's a few nuances when you do that, and they're not always very clear on exactly what you have to do. So, Phil, I don't know if you can hear me, either text into the blog window or whatever. I'm assuming you can hear at your end, because I have you unblocked. So, Anyway, when you get it all figured out, go ahead and call in. In the meantime, I'm going to go ahead and read some other stuff. Everybody would love to hear what happened at the demonstration, because it was in Daytona Beach, the same Daytona Beach where the police gave him such a rough time weeks ago, and he said in his message to me earlier today that things went better than expected, especially in light of the fact that there is a flu bug going around in the central part of Florida right now, and that is causing a lot of folks to be ill. He had some of the Korean War veterans that were going to be there, part of the demonstration, had to call out sick. So, but he said overall, though, it went very well. And that's why we were really hoping he could join us here to talk about that that activity, because I wanted to find out if they had any problems with the Sheriff's Department or the Daytona Beach Police Department like they did last time. Apparently not. He said it went well. And I can see that in the future, new guests, we're going to have to run a test run on the conference call before the actual interview to make sure that they can log in okay, because up till now I thought everything was pretty straightforward on how to do that. So while we wait for Phil to call back in, let me read some of the verses I had here for us. First Chronicles 16:8. Oh, give thanks to Yahweh, call on his name. That's where the mainstream church today has lost its connection to the Father. They don't call upon his name, they call upon a title. So, let's see if... okay, Phil, I've unmuted you. Can you hear me? It's got to be something with your mic, your computer mic, or how you're set up on the preferences for the conference call here. There's a little, looks like a geared wheel up in the corner up there. That's where the preferences are. Make sure it's set for your, whatever you're using, a headset or the computer speakers or whatever. It's a setting up there. Maybe you're saying something, but it's not coming through. We're not hearing you. Oh, rats. Rats, rats, rats. Let's see here. Switch presenter, remote control. I'm going to try something here. Oh, never mind. It's asking me if I wanted to take remote control. No, I don't think so. But anyway, the mainstream church leaves out the fact that our Father has a name. I grew up in a Methodist church. I can attest to the fact they don't have a clue. In fact, all of the Protestant churches that I attended over my early years as a young man, whether it be Baptist, Presbyterian, Assemblies of God, Conservative Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, you name it, Methodist, of course, none of them had the name right. None of them could answer the tough questions either until the identity message came along much later in my life, and it answered all the questions. You know, people say, well, Dan, that identity sounds racist. Well, first of all, most of the people that say that don't know a damn thing about what identities are. They only go by what the Southern Poverty Law Center and other Jewish-controlled organizations tell them. It's much like when I was in my 30s, I decided to read Mein Kampf, which was written by Adolf Hitler. I read it for myself because I started asking myself, why am I letting other either professors or educational institutions or the media tell me what Adolf Hitler was all about and what was going on with the National Socialists. So I started reading other books on it, including Mein Kampf, and come to find out that, well, how about that? They lied to us yet again. They always lie to us. Let's see here. To let Phil know we can't hear. If I could get my fat fingers to type all right here. Sorry for this delay, folks, but we got some kind of glitch going on. I've asked him to call in on the phone, but maybe he doesn't want to do that. So anyway, when I went ahead and read the books, myself, I came across with a much different attitude and quite an awakening as to what that whole thing in the 1920s and 30s in Germany was all about. And ironically, you know, we're pretty much in the same spot as white nations have been flooded in upon by aliens, and the Jews have taken control just like they did in Germany. It started right after the 1900s, about the time they were taking control here with the help of Woodrow Wilson and the Federal Reserve Act, the IRS being formed, Social Security coming upon us. Then they created the Great Depression. Well, they were doing the same thing overseas, especially in Germany, because after the First World War, they were decimated. And thanks to treason here in the States and in the United Kingdom and our allies, Germany was decimated. And so the National Socialists were the road to recovery to bring back their country for German people. Well, a lot of people say, well, they don't have a right to do that. Well, then why did we let the blacks take over South Africa when they didn't even build it? Just because the country's in Africa doesn't mean it's naturally supposed to be black. There are a lot of non-blacks in Africa over the centuries, okay? And the Boers went into what's called South Africa today, the Transvaal, and built it. It was a wilderness. There weren't even black people there. And yet we turn around and, because it's Africa, said it was not right that white people rule that. But yet here, where we developed this country, and in Europe, where we developed our countries, we seem to have fallen into the guilt baiting of the Jews to feel sorry for everybody else, but we're not supposed to have a homeland for our own white people, which is ludicrous. That's completely ludicrous. And white people need to shirk that whole guilt thing, all right? It's been put upon us to allow us to be manipulated and to take away our defensive forces to protect ourselves, which means somebody has some things in mind for us that aren't good for us, right? That's the sign for it. Again, I see Phil tried it again here. Let's see. Okay, we can try it one more time. I got you unmuted at this end, Phil. I have no idea. It's got to do something with your microphone, your headset. I've had other people have this problem. One of the buttons at the top of the screen, you've got to click on the phone or some other button there. How frustrating. Oh, well. In the future, that's what I'll do. I'll have to get the people to call in ahead of the show and make sure they know how to log in and get all those bugs worked out. Bummer, bummer, bummer. But anyway, they had their demonstration, and they passed out a lot of information, talked to a lot of people about both 9/11 and the fact that the story that we've been given is a complete fabrication. And they also told people the truth about USS Liberty. By the way, if you go to the website, PastorDan.net, I have a whole page devoted to the USS Liberty with tons of links to articles and books and speakers that have attested to what the United States government did to our own sailors in covering up the murder of 20-some sailors and the wounding of 100-and-some others and nearly sinking with all hands on board the USS Liberty, ordered by Lyndon Baines Johnson to cover up the fact that it was Israelis that bombed, torpedoed, and strafed an unarmed surveillance ship of the United States Navy in the 1960s. Isn't that odd? Why would somebody be so concerned with hiding the fact that it was the Israelis that did that to us? They're supposed to be our friends, right? Well, guess what? They're not. I've been saying that for years, this whole idea that they're our friends. No, friends don't do that to each other. And the USS Liberty is just one incident. When the truth of 9/11 comes out, that'll be another eye-opener for the American people about the chicanery and the machinations of that little disastrous country called It's a Lie over in Palestine, because it is a lie. It's a complete lie. And I think Phil's probably going to give up here. He keeps logging in, but it's not connecting. And again, folks, it's not the free conference call. It's just debugging it and figuring out how to press the right buttons to make it work, because it is working for everybody else and has been working for some time now. So it's not the software. It's not the computer program. It's just figuring out which buttons to push, all right? So I know it's frustrating, but you have to be patient. There's a little learning curve to any kind of software you get. I think Yahweh had me born at the period of time I was born so that I could grow up with computers. Computers started to come into use in my 20s, and it just so happened that the power industry had enough money to buy them when they were expensive. And so we had access to the best and fastest in the computers in the industry. And since I was a technician, and later on I got into engineering and supervision, so I had my own computer. And so I learned how to use computers on the job. So that was a benefit. And then I became a procedure writer, which has aided me tremendously in the work that I'm doing to educate our people with the skills I learned in technical writing and using computer word processors, etc., to put reports together, how to do copy paste and all that stuff that we used to have to do manually. And then computers came along and made the job of educating the people so much faster. Back in the 1980s, the fastest way to get the people was to either give them a cassette tape that they'd have to go home and listen to it, or to use the Xerox machine and make 50 to 100 copies of some piece of paper with information on it and hand them out to people individually, or put them in, stuff them in envelopes and mail them. So as you can tell, that didn't reach a whole lot of people for a long time. And then Yahweh opened up the doors with the internet and computers, and the awakening has accelerated greatly. Psalm 149, verse 4, I like all of Psalm 149, but in verse 4 he says, Yahweh takes pleasure in his people. You know, this blows the whole universalist thing out of the water. They try to say, well, his people's anybody that recognizes Yahweh as Yahweh. Well, Satan recognizes Yahweh as the king. And yet he's the greatest adversary of us and of the Father. So just recognizing the Father does not make you one of his children. And I've told a lot of people, too, this is not a thing where Yahweh is strictly going to save the earth for the white race and all other races are going to have no part in it. I don't believe that for a second. Read the verses about the New Jerusalem. And besides that, use some common sense. Father created this world and he put the other races in it. No different than he put the trees and the vegetation and the animal kingdom in here. He put the other races in here before he dropped Adam down here. Okay? And so you think, like some guys teach, that he's going to obliterate everything out there and the only thing going to be left standing are white people? Do you actually believe that? Because I don't know about you folks, but I've met a lot of white people. I'm personally going to be glad they're not in the kingdom. And I've met quite a few non-whites that I'm going to be glad to see in the kingdom. Now, there's a lot of bad in both of those camps, too, and I don't want bad people, period. And I'm sure the Father doesn't either. That's why he said, those that offend me, the things that offend me, will not come into the kingdom. All right? And the modern-day church world is just so full of crap. I get calls every day by exasperated people because of the lies that were being told, and the fact that the church world, again, Q says be careful who you trust. Everybody trusts that the church world is here to tell us about our Heavenly Father and bring people to understanding, etc., etc., of the Father and of the kingdom, etc., but that's not what they're doing. They're feeding the sheep a line of garbage, and now we find out through Mark Taylor from Orlando, the fireman that wrote the Trump prophecies, that the very pastors that the sheep out here are trusting have already sold them out to the government. They've agreed to turn over their lists, their membership lists, and their information on their congregations to the government in exchange for a free pass when the tyrants bring about the New World Order. So, you know, everybody's looking for the tribulation. What do you think we've been in? What do you think we've been in, folks? We've been under the tribulation for a long time. The world system has been in existence for a long time already. Way longer than it should have been. There's already been hundreds of millions of martyrs and innocent victims of this world system. All these wars fought for corporations, as Smedley Butler, the U.S. Marine Corps general, said in his book, War is a Racket. All right, the U.S. military and virtually all the militaries of the world are used for corporate profits and to protect the money interests of the rogue elements, the bankers and their lawyer buddies, etc. So, you know, we've all been fed a line of BS over all that. I don't know why Phil cannot... This is fun. Okay. I just asked Phil if he could call in using his phone. That is actually the easiest. Anybody, if you're having trouble... use your phone, because if you can't get the microphone to work, now I know Phil from Tampa had problems at one time, and he found out eventually that he was doing something wrong when he logged in, and typically that's what we always find out. That's why a good backup is to have your phone and just call the telephone number. Now, I did hear just before airtime that the 5th of December is General Flynn's birthday. So I want to shout out to General Flynn, who's in the swamp right now, doing testimony and working with the alliance there. Happy birthday. And as General Flynn was stated, that there's a army of digital warriors fighting to take back America and bring her back to her Christian roots and her moral pinnings. We now find out that the other white nations of Europe are starting to rise up. Germany, France, I heard Belgium as well, Ireland, the UK, the whole UK may come... on fire here pretty soon. People are becoming aware that we've been used, lied to, abused by the moneyed interests, the bankers, the merchants. Exactly as the book of Revelation says. Isn't that interesting? When you read Revelation about how Babylon burns, tell me isn't exactly what we see happening here. Okay? And we've said this for the nearly 20 years that we've been on the radio, that when Yahweh brings an end to this beast system, it will be an economic end. The economic end of the beast system is what will bring it down, because it's their ill-gotten gain, their blood money, their usury that allows them to do the things they do. That's why we say, if you ever want to find out who the evil people are, just follow the money trail. He'll tell you who's doing it. George Soros is not the only Jew out there shoveling shekels into people's pockets in order to get them to create chaos and disruption in this world. So we're watching the book of Revelations before our very eyes. All right? It says what? When Babylon burns, who's doing the weeping and wailing? It's the merchants, folks. Merchants, not you and me. We're watching from afar off. That's what Psalm 91 is talking about. You're going to see 1,000 at one side, 10,000 at the other side, but it won't come unto you. He's going to burn this system to the ground. And it could be a financial burning in the beginning, and eventually it may be an actual burning. But this system's going to burn to the ground. And it's going to be an economic burning of the cabal, of these satanic beings and their corrupt money system. Now, who's been in bed with the whore of Babylon? The princes and rulers. So, in biblical terms, what's that saying? It's talking about your prime ministers, your presidents, your cabinet, and all those kind of people. Public servants in government is basically what it's saying. They've been in bed with the whore, meaning they've accepted bribes, they've accepted the satanic rituals, they've taken part in their rituals with children, whether it's Lolita Island with Epstein, that piece of dirt, or the rest of them, all right? They're all in bed with this. It's all a satanic order. It's not a real mystery. If you got your eyes open, it's not that difficult to figure out. It really isn't. So you're watching Revelation coming about as we speak. Now, you know, it's been over a year that the Baltic Dry Index, it's called the Baltic Dry Index, and that's a index of shipping, worldwide shipping, has been at its lowest levels ever since it came into existence, monitoring the amount of shipping between countries. The lowest levels ever. Because the economy is in a state of turmoil. Because the world is waking up to the nefarious deeds of the Jewish bankers and the fact that they've created a fiat money system that's useless. It's completely worthless. The only people that make out in their fiat money system are the Jews themselves. It's a Ponzi scheme. It's probably the greatest Ponzi scheme, and I mean great by the size of its magnitude, not great for us as mankind, only that it's a huge Ponzi scheme. Oh, of course, they love it, and with their ill-gotten gain, they buy up the media, they own Hollywood, they own a lot of our politicians, they've got the professors in the universities, they've been dumping money into the seminaries, so they've got the whores behind the pulpit in their pocket. So with that kind of money and influence, it's easy to convince everybody, oh no, don't look over here, there's nothing here. It's just a coincidence that the Jews run the Federal Reserve. It's just a coincidence that the 12 major banks, regional banks in America are all run by Jews. That's just a coincidence that every white nation's central banking system is run by Jews. That's just a coincidence. And they get richer and richer while the white man gets poorer and poorer. And by the way, who do you think crammed down our throats that it was okay to bring in multiculturalism, flood us with all these illegal aliens, take away the white man's rule in his own countries and turn it over to everybody but the white man? Who do you think's behind all that? You think it's just an accident? Or as Q is constantly saying, do you believe in coincidences? You believe that's a coincidence? It's time to turn off your electronic entertainment, folks, and put your big girl and big boy pants on and start thinking for yourself and asking tough questions before it's too late. We're at the 11th hour. Actually, we're probably only minutes away from midnight, whether we can turn this thing around or not. The world has gotten that polluted, that sick, that demented, that satanic. Okay? All for the sake of making money and all for their sick, degenerate view of mankind through their Talmud. They are destroying this earth. And it is literally true, we have been lied to about almost everything in our schools, our churches, via our government, the major media, Hollywood, celebrities, sports figures, liars, liars, liars. Okay, I'm getting a message here from about Phil, so if you bear with me for just a second. I don't see, now this says Phil. Okay, I don't see anybody calling in though. Okay, I was told Phil called in, but he didn't pop up on the screen, so he needs to try it again and join. He has to join the call. Okay, when you call in, you have to, I believe you have to press a button or whatever to join the call. So anybody out there in contact with Phil, if you would, let him know that, because I don't see it on the screen if he's calling in. So hopefully he'll be able to join us here very soon. So again, lies and deceptions everywhere. Happy birthday, General Flynn. We do have an army of digital warriors. The mainstream media is dying, and praise Yahweh for that, because they couldn't tell the truth. If you put a gun to their head, I mean, that's just how bad they are. And they're turning to the new mainstream media, which we're not called that yet, but the mainstream media is actually the citizen journalists out there using modern technology, and praise Yahweh for that. Modern technology, they're doing the digging, the searching, like the QAnon folks are doing when they Q puts out the posts, and these Anons do the deep diving and down the rabbit holes, put all that stuff together, and everybody's sharing their information. And we've got a network going. How often have we talked about that on this radio show? The life raft, or the ark for Yahweh's people at the end of the age, we've often said potentially it might be the fact that we network together. We're not all in one spot yet. We will be eventually. But it could be the fact that we network and communicate with each other and share our ideas, that's what's going to provide our security. Okay, Phil, I unmuted you, and again, I can't hear anything. It's got to be something at your end, buddy. Sorry. Can Phil hear us? If somebody's out there in contact with Phil, besides myself, ask him if he's able to hear us. That's usually a good clue. I did not see him come up with the phone call. So anyway, this whole new network of citizen journalists are putting out a lot of truth, you know, and it's a shame that more Americans aren't taking advantage of that. I still find friends and relatives, excuse me, woefully ignorant of what's going on today, when it's so easy to jump on and go to a YouTube channel or anything like that and get some really good information about what's going on down there. Everything I read the last 2 days says that we have been true. It has been. Okay, Phil, can you hear me? Okay. See, I don't know. Oh, wait a minute. Okay, now Phil, you did pop up that you have a question, but again, your mic is not working. It's not connected or not recognized, or you don't have it set in your preferences. Again, right there on the free conference call box up in the upper left-hand corner on my screen. I'm not sure where is a little circular wheel. Looks like a gear. If you click on that, it'll open up a set of options. And one of them is your preferences, and you can go to the audio section under there and see if it's if you're set up properly to use whatever it is that you're using for your connection. In my case, I've got a headset, so you set your recording device and your playback device to your speakers and microphone of your headset, and that might be where your problem is. So again, that's under that geared wheel. Go to preferences and check to see what recording and playback devices are set to. Because you're there, you're hooked up. That's the only thing I can think of that's not working for you. So, and anybody contact with Phil might pass that along to him there if you could, because I don't know if he can read the blog window. So, as I was saying, big changes are coming. I believe that the outing of the criminals is going to be very, very soon. And here's what I've been talking to a lot of the men about. Q has been telling us this and leading us there with hints and what they call breadcrumbs, etc. If those behind the scenes working to bring this cabal down, if there isn't some sort of a sign to the Patriots out here, and I know they're telling us that there's things going on, but again, a lot of it is behind closed doors. It's off air. It's behind the screen. It's not stuff that we can see literally. And it's going to have a lot of people very impatient. So, and the biggest thing is, to me, no more game playing. You know, we talked about the fact that at the end of the age, Yahweh was going to take that fence that everybody loves to sit on, and he was going to make it razor sharp. Razor sharp. You're not going to be able to sit on the fence. You're going to come down either on the side of righteousness and truth and honesty, or you're going to come down on the side of the Satanists and those that do the works of iniquity. That's it. Two camps. That's why Christ said, you're either for me or against me. And that's why my blood boiled when George Bush, the one that was executed recently, at least that's what I'm hearing, he went the same way as McCain did, and he went some time ago, not just the other day. That's just what they told you. But when he said, in speaking to us back in the 90s, I believe it was, and he said the same thing, you're either with us or you're against us. How dare you take the words of Christ as your own? All right? That's Satan. Satan and his kids looking at us tell us that we have to choose to go on his side when it's our Savior that told us that you're either with me or against me. All right? And we've reached that point. Everybody has to make that decision. I wish that the people in Washington, the Pentagon, the so-called white hats, let's put the facade and the illusion away and everybody just come out and be honest. I'm sick of all the intrigue, to be honest with you, whether it's good guys or bad guys. It doesn't matter. How about just stating things honestly? Come out exactly how you feel. Come out and say that you're either good guy, bad guy. Let's see. Let's put all the cards on the table. And one of the cards that I want to see put out on the table is the truth about 9/11. Now, the good news is, I just saw it today. Apparently, the Attorney General with jurisdiction for the World Trade Center there in New York has accepted I believe it's a lawsuit, and they are going to form a grand jury panel to look into 9/11. Finally, they're going to hear the protests of the architects and engineers and survivors who have been petitioning for the government to do an actual investigation into one the biggest crime ever committed in America, which was on 9/11, which changed our life here forever and brought in a tremendous step towards a police state. And that was just yesterday that they said that this will go to a grand jury. And that's the first good news about 9/11 I've seen in a long time. So let's all be encouraged and hope that these are going to be more of the things we'll see happening here in the very near future. And and keep it in our prayers. You know, Father is ultimately in control. You know, Satan has a lot of latitude to do things here, to deceive us, etc., and convince people to do evil. He has no power to make us do anything, but he does have the power to deceive us, and he gets many people to do bad things for that reason. Oh, now we're starting to see where the righteous have been crying out and getting off their asses and actually partaking in the process. You know, it's one thing to sit in a church and say you're praying, as one lady and I got into a tiff many years ago when she wanted me to join her prayer group at work. So I went on a Wednesday afternoon, and it was all typical Judeo-type talking, and of course the women were leading this thing instead of the men. And here she's giving this prayer, praying for all the people with cancer and all these other debilitating diseases and all that. And after it was all over, I couldn't wait for it to end. It was painful. She came up and said, "Well, I'm glad to see you made it. I hope we can see you here next week." And all, and I said, "No, I don't think so." And she says, "Well, why not?" I said, "Because it's impotent. All right. It's useless." I said, "First of all, this should be run by men. That's the first mistake." I said, "Second of all, you're praying for your congregational members to be healed. But when have you ever told them the truth about the medical mafia? Have you ever told them that we're being lied to about cancer and many of these other diseases? Have you ever told them there's alternatives? Have you ever told them the truth about chemotherapy and radiation and what it does to the body? Have you done any of those things?" "Well, no. That's not our place. That's for the medical experts." I said, "Really? How's that working out for you, by the way? I know I've lost a lot of friends and a lot of my relations to just cancer alone." I said, "It doesn't seem to be working out real well for the medical mafia. How many years now have we been told to send them donations because they're so close to a cure for cancer? Let's see, I'm 65. I've been hearing that BS for at least 50 years of my life. We're this close. Send another check for $100. Send another check for $1,000. We're this close." Yet I had a friend of mine when he was working with the folks in Massachusetts and the American Cancer Society, saw the letter for their grant. Yeah, he should talk. Yeah, he should talk. Absolutely. Anyway, he saw this letter that said that a condition of the grant for monies to this laboratory and research center was that they would not claim that they found a cure. How about that? They'll give you millions of dollars to basically spin your wheels as long as you make sure you don't say anything about a cure for cancer. We're being lied to about everything. We're being played. That's my point. It's useless to pray to the Father that our people not be hurt, and then you don't do anything. You don't do any research. You don't do any communicating. You don't do any digging to find the truth out. And once you find the truth, to spread the truth. Phil, you can speak up at any point, buddy. I'm really anxious to hear from you. If you're able to unmute yourself at some point. Now, according to what I just read there, you said you can hear me. I can't hear you. I don't know. I'll tell you what. Could another caller come in and make sure that my system is working? Let's see. Give me just a second. Henry, I'm going to pick on you, buddy. I just want to make sure it's not my setup here that's wrong, if you would mind just speaking with me for a few seconds. Hello, Henry. Are you there? Let me see if I can get Gary to say something. Okay.
Am I calling in on that?
Okay, I hear somebody talking.
Is that you over there, Pastor Dan? I didn't know.
Yep, this is, is this Gary?
Yeah.
Okay, well, it's working then. I just wanted to make sure that I'm sitting here saying that Phil's got a problem, but I wanted to make sure my rig was working here, so I'll let you go unless you have something else you wanted to say.
Pastor Dan, I heard you say what's his name, Bush, old man Bush, was executed. Hear a little bit more on that because this first time I heard about it, so I'd like you maybe to talk a little bit on that if possible.
Well, the Dan Bongino and Liz Cochran and several others have alluded to a couple things. For a couple days now, people have been saying that he actually passed some time before what they're telling us on the media. Okay, so I've got that from quite a few sources, but the latest source that said that her intel was that he was actually executed along the same lines as McCain was Liz Cochran, and she did not divulge who her sources were. So you have to take it with a grain of salt. However, it does sort of fit with what we see going on, and it does fit with the fact that they lie to us about everything. And, so I don't know who their sources are, but it does sort of fit. And I guess we're going to find out here pretty soon. But anyway, that's where I heard it from.
Okay.
All righty.
Yeah, I mean, he was 94, 95.
Welcome. This service is provided by freeconferencecall.com.
Oh, somebody's making a phone call. Hey, that's what you get when you work off shoestring budgets and you have to, you have to use whatever sources you can get. Okay, wait a minute. I think Gary wants to talk through the phone. Gary, is that you?
Yeah, it's me again. For some reason, we got shut down, but now we're back up.
Well, you were... Okay, go ahead. One of your connections is through the computer, and the other one's through the phone.
Yeah, we're on the phone now.
Right.
But anyway, I just was a little bit antsy about how he died. I mean, he was old enough to die. He'd done a lot of bad things. I mean, it's just like I saw a cartoon today. You know, before he died, he had the horns like a devil, and then after he died, he had a halo on his head. Something wrong with that picture.
Well, it's the game that's played, okay? Right now the game is that anybody that was part of the cabal has to go out with honors because they did the work of Satan's kids, of course. What do you expect? I mean, they're gonna say he was a great guy because in their view he was a great guy, but the rest of humanity isn't going to see him that way, ever.
Well, so, I hope that those who want to try and follow Satan will see how he treats his people. Doesn't treat them too well.
Well, a lot of people have died, and we've said that. One of the problems with being in bed with the Zio communists is that if at any time they feel threatened by you or they need a scapegoat, they'll throw you under the bus. Okay, they'll get rid of you in a heartbeat. There's no loyalty there. There's no compassion there. It's a heartless system. It uses people. It abuses people. That's one thing about the walk with the Father. It brings about just the opposite. It brings about, peace and joy and good fellowship and hard work and good ethics. I mean, how can that be bad? I've never understood that. People say, well, that's kind of ridiculous, you know, believing in a creator and all that stuff like that. And it's like, well, what do you believe in, bud? What drives you every morning you get up? What decides is good and bad in your life? You know, I just don't get it. I really don't. These people that are atheists and agnostics, and they think it's foolishness to believe in a creator God. And it's like, well, let's see. I can believe that I have a greater power watching me day and night, and you believe you can do anything you damn well please. Let's see, which one would work for a peaceful society?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's ludicrous. I mean, these people are completely insane. But we were told it would be this crazy, so no surprise there.
Some of the stuff that's happening out there is just unbelievable, you might say. It's gone way out in left field.
Well, it is. And here again, haven't we talked about on the show here for a long time? At the end of the age, he said, I'll bundle the tares. Aren't they self-identifying themselves for us?
Well, yeah, even the queers are doing that. You know, they're
coming out of the closet.
And you know, the things that they do, it's unbelievable.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I think what's going to probably happen is they're probably going to come to an end. Well, I know they're going to come to an end. The Word of God says that they're going to come to an end.
Well, that's right. That's right. And even the Dead Sea Scrolls, if you believe in what they're talking about, the Dead Sea Scrolls talk about a great battle at the end of the age between the children of light and the children of darkness. That's exactly what we see unfolding. You've got two camps diametrically opposed, and these two camps cannot coexist in the same geographic area. And right now that geographic area is called Earth. All right? They can't coexist here. One believes that human life means nothing. One says that a baby in a mother's womb is not sacred. One says that the Earth and her resources are to be used and abused. The other says they're to be maintained and not abused. They can't live in the same sphere. They can't, you know, in the same enclosure. They can't live that way. They're two opposites. So one has to prevail, the other cannot, right?
That's right. And, you know, I see things happening out here, and I go, oh, man, But then I have to pull it back to my mind and say, you know what? The Savior is more powerful than any of these clowns out here, any of them. Lucifer has to bow down to our Savior.
Right.
So,
oh, did you see the other headline? You know about CERN, right? You know what CERN is?
No.
That large collider. I think it's called a Hadron Collider over in Europe. That's been super secret what it's all about. It's billions of dollars have been spent on it. Supposedly it's something kind of a satanic meaning behind what it's up to and everything. It's shut down. And they're putting it out to the press that they're down for 2 years of maintenance. Now, there was something that I believe it was in the Q posts that was talking about a satellite or some other orbiting object that CERN was using and connected to that was taken down. And shortly after that, there was an announcement that CERN needed to come down for 2 years of repairs, which all of us in industrial maintenance backgrounds know that that's a line of BS. All right? That you don't just all of a sudden come down and say it's for maintenance for 2 years. You just don't do that. So,
well,
anyway.
Why did it come down?
Because it was shut down by the White Hats is what the word on the street is. Let me see if I can if Phil is able to hear me. Phil, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are.
Oh, oh boy, somebody. That's great. Okay. Thank you for your patience.
Well, let me see if Gary had anything else, and then we can let you tell us about the demonstration.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yes. Yeah. Gary, did you have anything else there, buddy?
No, I just want to listen.
All righty. Very good. Thanks, Gary, and Yahweh bless, buddy.
Yahweh bless.
All right. Gary. Finally, we got connected. Phil, welcome to the program. And just for folks that aren't really familiar with you, if you could just give a real short bio, if you don't mind.
Sure. Well, I'm a peace, truth, and justice activist up here in Daytona Beach, Florida, and I was got involved in the anti-war movement in late 2004 and created the Central Florida chapter of Veterans for Peace. Because at the time they were pretty active in trying to stop the 9/11 wars, so I figured, Dan, I'm not a war veteran myself, but I found out that the war on terror was a fraud. I found out about 9/11 being a false flag attack in 2005, and with this information. When I started the Vets for Peace chapter, I wasn't aware of 9/11 being a false flag attack yet, but I was aware of the Downing Street memo and that the Americans and the Brits, the governments had deliberately lied about weapons of mass destruction to get backing for an invasion of Iraq. So that's how I first got in, and then when I saw one of the DVDs for 9/11 Truth, I realized, my God, the whole thing's a fraud, and it's based on this one big lie. And ever since then, Dan, in 2005, our little group up here, I joined Veterans for Peace, hoping that if I presented this information to other veterans, you know, about the Downing Street memo and the lies to start Iraq and the 9/11, that the veterans from, let's say, Vietnam in that era and any other veterans who gave a damn would not let happen to this young generation of troops what happened to them with Vietnam, and that is being lied to into an unnecessary war. And when I presented this information to the local veterans chapters, you know, like the VFWs and the American Legion posts, they turned on me instead, the messenger, you know.
Yeah.
And actually they didn't want to hear it, and they ended up backing this and waving the flag. And we just had another generation of young men and women be used and abused and sent to an unnecessary war. And you got 22 veterans a day blowing their brains out. Because when you come back and realize what you did, it's hard to live with yourself. And same daggone thing happened, Dan. You know, the thing that I was trying to head off with, right around here, that seemed to be universal throughout the country, other people trying to nip it in the bud met with the same fate. And many of us with 9/11 itself trying to pass along the problems with the government's official 9/11 story to others, we found just the same, you know, the people don't want to hear it, and they bite your head off, and they get mad at you instead of the people who did 9/11, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So this over the anti-war stuff was all well and good with Veterans for Peace, as long as it was a Republican administration doing it. And then what we found was when the Democrat came in with Obama, you know, and he continued the same illegal wars and the same torture and detention and, you know, targeted extrajudicial assassinations and all this stuff. The anti-war movement didn't apply the same standard of a strong public call for impeachment. And, you know, naive I was, I realized, you know, hey, this is just a partisan operation. And we finally left Veterans for Peace in January 2016. We shut it down. And since then, we've been a chapter of We Are Change. We Are Change, all spelled out, .org. And we're the Central Florida chapter. And we basically just, you know, there's no central type of leadership with this organization. Each chapter operates on its own and tries to stick to the principles of the statement of purpose, you know, for the group. And it's more nonpartisan, none of this left-right stuff. And so that's what we've been doing past couple few years, Dan. And we sponsored our annual John Conley September 11th rally for 9/11 Truth again this September 11th, and it was shut down by the police, and that's when I reached out to you.
So how did this recent you held it again this past within the last few days, or no, it was
yes,
last week,
yes,
right?
Yes, we did. Yes,
yeah.
So this past Thursday, November 29th.
Yeah, that's it.
And
right.
This was the first time, Dan. We'd been out on that corner in Daytona Beach for 13 years, since 2005, and we never had an issue with the police shutting us down. You know, we've had encounters with the police, but never did they shut us down. And they did this permit thing, you know, and so when we were all set up and had our signs set up on September 11th, I got down there and the blue lights were going. And you know, what's happened is the lie has been propagated and propagated and propagated with every year, the official lie about 9/11. And it's basically treated like a holy day, especially with the, you know, the police and fire and military and government officials and, you know, I hate to...
Almost like a religion.
Yes. And so when we were out there on September 11th with all our signs questioning 9/11, you know, and calling for an end to the cover-up, you know, and the war on terror is a fraud, somebody got offended. And this woman police officer and another plainclothes woman started yanking the signs out of the ground. And thanks to a good Samaritan who pointed it out to one of our guys, hey, there's taking your signs. Our guys chased them down, and the one guy called 911 before he realized one of them was a cop herself. And then you had all the blue lights, and she had backup now, and then she was throwing her weight around with us, and you know, where's your permit? I said, we have 13 years of just being here. The police never gave us trouble. Well, that was then. This is now. You know, let me see your license. You're in my space, my personal. You know, they were trying everything, Dan, to get me to move the wrong way or say the wrong thing so they could cuff me. You know, I gave it my best, and then finally I knew it was time to pack up and leave. That was September 11th, and they were successful. They successfully shut us down. And Kathy, who you've met, my lady friend up here in Daytona, co-organizer since 05, we called a meeting with the chief of police and got it. Mind you, he's been the chief of police just a couple years now. The other guy, Chitwood, who's now sheriff, he was chief of police for 10 years while we were out there, and he used to stop by, hang out with us, talk with us, ask us if we needed anything. You know, we never had a problem. It was always hands off. So you know, maybe this guy just didn't know who we were, but we straightened it out, and you know, we said we still want to put this on. he said, when you do, let us know. We'll have you covered. And we didn't need the only permit we had was an email saying you're good to go, you know. And we kept a few copies of that. The cops left us alone. And we had a pretty good show in a four-hour handout there on our corner. And I know Lori, she's been out there with us in the past, and she knows how it works. And we had a real good event, and it was on a Thursday. We were on the drive home, and that was key. We wanted to be on the drive home so we can hit people that are going home from work, and we handed out probably about a couple hundred packets of flyers and DVDs, but the signs, you know, the signs are powerful, man. And I should send you some of the photographs we took, and people had to see those signs whether they wanted to or not, Dan. And we did our job. We got the message out. Ideally, the day to do it is on September 11th, but I think going forward, some of us will probably want to get out there a little more frequently again. After we had knocked off our weekly demos at the end of 2014, after 9-plus years of being out there every Thursday night, and now I think a few of us have got the bug again, so we might... We might get back out there and freely assemble to petition our government for a redress of grievances, you know.
Well, did you see that news article about the Attorney General that has jurisdiction?
Yes, accepted? And I'm so glad you mentioned it.
Yeah. I think that's huge, isn't it?
It sure as heck is. And what we did was there was an article that ran on PressWire, whatever it is, .com, the night before, November 28th. And what I did was I took that article and formatted it into a flyer. And that was part of the handout the next day we had on the 29th. That was part of our handouts. We got them out to a couple hundred people. And I believe, Dan, you know, I still believe in the leafletting, you know, and just face-to-face engaging your fellow, just your fellows out there. You can be on the keyboard and sign petitions and all that, but we got to get out there and engage our fellows and engage them, not fight them, you know.
Right.
We're all getting screwed, and we need each other to stop it.
Right.
Yeah. I'm talking your ear off, sorry, but thanks for letting me ramble to bring folks up to speed.
Well, you're right. I mean, you're part of the crew that's out there in the trenches and actually taking the enemy head on. So, you know, anything to help the fighters out there, that's what we're here for. And I think it's huge that there's going to finally be a grand jury convened. I hope it's a citizens grand jury put together the correct way. And what I found interesting was even on I think it was on Fox that was reporting on it, when they said that the Attorney General had agreed to look into the destruction of Tower 1, Tower 2, and World Trade Number 7. Number 7 has not been in the mainstream media at all. They don't ever talk about it. They act as if it didn't even exist. I've had people say, what building 7? Okay?
Yes.
Because it's never talked about. This one actually came out and said, we are going to investigate Tower 1, Tower 2, and Building 7. And it's wow.
And that's thanks to the Lawyers Committee for 9/11 Inquiry. They're the ones who have been working on this for a year or two now. And the website, you may have mentioned it, I'm not sure, but it's LC, Lima Charlie, 4, F-O-R, Foxtrot Oscar Romeo, 911.com. LC4911.com. and they're the volunteer attorneys that have been working on this for quite a while, and they presented a 57 page body of work and evidence to present to the attorney's office there in New York. And now that the attorney wrote back saying that they've received the petition and the body of work, the evidence that accompanied it, and their next step is to present it to a grand jury, as you mentioned, and then it's up to the grand jury whether an indictment will come from it. But you got to get to step one before you can get to step two, right, Dan?
Exactly.
And this is the farthest we've gotten in the legal process ever so far. So this is a great bit of news.
Well, isn't it interesting? It's been, it's been 17 years, right?
Yes.
17 is what? Q.
Oh.
The letter Q, boy. 17.
Okay.
So it took 17 years of tireless individuals like yourself and what we've tried to do, because we were putting programs out the day of 9/11. I went back and listened to an interview I did with, I think it was Fearless Jim Floyd from Alabama, and it might have been one or two other guys, but I know the day of 9/11 and the day, the couple days following it, we were already starting to question the narrative and trying to get our fellow Americans to question what was going on, because things just didn't add up.
Oh, God bless you. And that's what a patriot does, is question.
Right.
We were told if we want to keep this part of being a responsible citizen and a patriot is keeping an eye on our servant government.
Oh, yeah. Even the founding fathers, they no sooner the ink wasn't dry on the Constitution when they said that we've given you a republic if you can keep it, and you have to chain the government down with the Constitution. I've had to have that discussion with so many people over the years. The Constitution has nothing to do with my rights. It has everything to do with our public servants. The Constitution is the contract for our public servants to understand their obligations and duties to us, and to make sure they understand they are not to violate our rights.
Our rights. Exactly.
Okay? That's the contract with them. The Constitution has nothing to do with you and me. Our rights were antecedent to that Constitution. They existed from the moment we sucked air. God gave us those rights, not these bastards in state capitals in the federal Washington, D.C. They had nothing to do with it.
And isn't it something, Dan, that how so many of us misunderstand, and I track it right back to the media and the education system, and not so much the education system, because just the media itself and how they use the word commander in chief. They make it, they give the impression like the president is the commander of us all. No, he's a commander in chief of the military, period. Other than that, he's servant to us, we the people.
Right. You know? He's been, we hired him to do a job.
Yeah, and it's a basic civics lesson that, you know, we've had maybe a couple of generations already who no longer are taught civics in school as
right.
a requirement. And that's part of our work, Dan, yours, mine, and the rest of the gang listening tonight is teaching, explaining, just like you just did, the proper relation between the people and the servant government and what the purpose of the Constitution is.
Did you see the YouTube where I can't remember which of the officers, it was somebody equivalent to General Flynn. I can't remember if it was an admiral or a general, but he was leading a whole contingent of the people working at the CIA in a reciting of their oath of office. Did you see that a little while back?
No, and I would like to see that.
Okay, I'm going to have to try to dig that up. But I found it very interesting because it follows what we've been talking about on this show for quite some time now. These SOBs have to take that oath of office because if they don't take that oath of office, they have no right being in our government or our military because that is their oath to obey the Constitution that applies to them. And if they disobey it, that is an act of treason, okay? So I thought it was significant that here's this, I can't remember, I wish I remembered his rank, but anyway, he is on videotape leading this contingent of workers at the CIA into reciting on tape now. So it's on tape. So if it ever goes to court, they have him on tape citing that oath of office. Now, if any of them do not obey that oath of office, at the very least, they can be thrown out of their jobs or they can be charged. Okay? A public servant is held to a higher standard than you or I. And you know why? Because they're in a position of trust. We've given them power to make laws and to execute laws and to punish people, which requires that they be even more strict and more righteous than you and I. That's why they have taken oath of office, because you and I don't want to trust somebody in that powerful position who's dishonest and who does not understand that special relationship between us and them. That's the significance of the oath of office. And yet when I went into the United States Air Force, I remember all of us taking that oath, and I'll guarantee you that 99% of the men in that room with me didn't have a damn clue what was in the Constitution. But there they were taking an oath to uphold it. You see, that's the problem. Because nobody in a leadership position in the military or in the police forces anymore, back in the old days they did, but anymore, they're not training their subordinates on the significance of what that oath means. They're not taking a little pamphlet. I've got them to hand out to people. Little pocket constitutions should be in the pocket of every public servant. Every public servant should have that thing almost memorized. It's not for you and me to memorize it. They need to memorize it.
Especially if the oath's taken, and like you, I was in the service for a while and took the oath and had no idea. All I knew is just raise your hand and repeat what they say, you know, and it's one, and then go stand in another line somewhere, you know. But the oath is to support and defend the Constitution itself against all enemies, foreign and domestic. So they, you're right. If there's anything that should be standard issue as part of the uniform, is a pocket constitution.
Amen.
I agree with you. Yeah.
Yep. Amen. You know, when I was in the Air Force at basic training, we used to have a little slip of paper that we had to fold it just right. We had a special way we had to fold it. We had to stick it in our left breast pocket, with a tab of it, about a half an inch of it sticking out, so that when the drill instructor wanted to chew our ass out and write us up, we could reach up with our fingers and pull that piece of paper out so he could write us up. Okay? So you want to talk about degrading. You got to carry the piece of paper around in your pocket every hour of every day so that you can be written up by any drill instructor that catches you doing something wrong. So
I could just picture it, yeah.
Yeah, so along the same lines, a public servant should have that pocket constitution on them 24/7, at least during their time on the job. Anytime they're on the job, a person should be able to walk up to them and say, "Where's your constitution?" Okay? That, and it should have the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and there should be another section put in there, and this is where the judges need to have their wrists slapped, should be the instructions to the jury. The jury nullification rules should be part of the little booklet that every one of these bastards carries with them, because they've all forgotten about it, especially these black-robed pieces of dog meat called judges that think they're gods. They need to read in there what jury nullification is and the fact that they are not gods. All they are is referees. They're no different than the umpire at the baseball games that I used to play in. They're there to call balls and strikes and call people out on the bases, and that's it. They don't play the game. They're not there to dictate how we play baseball. They're just sit there to make sure that both teams play fair. Well, in the courtroom, the job of the damn judge is exactly the same thing, to make sure both sides play fair. That's it. And they think that they're gods, and they can hand out sentences, and they can instruct the jury on how they want them to decide a case and everything else. That is completely counter to what the Founding Fathers expected.
Yes. I imagine you already know about this, and but there's that organization, FIJA?
Yes, Fully Informed Jury Association.
Yes, and that's very helpful. And I know, like many of these websites, a person can click on them and find literature to download. And we have a fellow up here in Central Florida. You may have even had him on your show from a time in the past, Mark Schmitter, and he was arrested for informing people in front of the courthouses of the jurors, the FIJA literature and all, and the judge put him in jail for like 3 months for doing that.
What basis did he throw him in jail? What law did he break?
But evidently he was outside. The judge said he couldn't do it in front of the courthouse, and that it had to be within a free speech zone that he designated, the judge himself. And I believe Mark said, you know, this something to the effect that this country itself is a free speech zone, or it's supposed to be, and he continued to pass out the flyers in front of the courthouse, and that's when I believe the judge threw him in jail.
Well, that judge needs to be put on trial.
Yeah, but you know, just the way you said, the system's it's not operating the way it's supposed to be. And that gets me to a point I wanted to make at some time in this talk, is that we're the answer we're looking for, Dan. We the people, each one of us, you know, the system that's set up, it's supposed to work for us, but it's been corrupted and it doesn't. The politicians, they're supposed to represent us, but they represent whoever greases their palms the most, and the go along, the get along with the leadership there in the Congress. So I believe no matter electing somebody, I don't think we can elect our way out of this mess. We have to be the answer ourselves, we the people, and it has to come from us, and we have to get past these things that divide us, you know, in the right, left. Colonel Bob Bowman, who's been gone now 5 years, we've named our chapter in his honor, the Colonel, the Dr. Bob Bowman Memorial Chapter, he always made this point that we've got to get past this artificial left-right divide. And sure, we have differences. You know, people, we see things different ways, different issues. We come down and often oppose strongly. And what's happening is the powers that be that want to neutralize the power of we the people find those points of disagreement and fuel us, you know, to be against each other based on those issues. And we just continue to get played. We neutralize ourselves. And we've got to get past these other issues. You see, Dan, like our group up here, and Lori is familiar with our group. She, for years, was part of our events up here in Daytona Beach. And it really is an odd mix of folks of different backgrounds with different beliefs on different issues. But we all come together on the issue of the illegal war, you know,
and put
everything else aside. And what this demonstrates by our actions, we can come together on one issue of importance and work on it and agree to not bring these other points of discontent or disagreement in, and we can work together on this issue. And that doesn't mean you have to give up your position on these other issues. If you want to come together to work together with somebody from the left or the right, you know, whatever team you're on, the other side, you know, it doesn't mean you have to give up your beliefs or your positions on these other issues. You know, you just put them aside for now, and it's like the boat with the that has a hole in it and it's leaking. You know, if you don't work together to get that boat ashore, you're going to sink and drown. And so you get ashore. That doesn't mean you have to be buddy-buddy for the rest of your life. You just accomplished the mission, you know.
Right.
I think that's what Americans need to do with 9/11, because you mentioned it's been 17 years, and there's so much evidence of it being a fraud, and so much has been done to us and other so many innocents around the world in the name of the 9/11 lie. We've got to get to the root of this thing, man. And until the American people get honest with 9/11, we're going to continue to keep getting what we've been getting. And I'm glad you're talking about it on your program, and that's really impressive that you were right on it on the day, you know, and speaking up. I really believe, Dan, that we've got to deal with this. And until we deal with this 9/11, all the crap we've been getting in the name of 9/11 is just going to continue.
Well, that's my canary in the coal mine as far as any white hats that we're hearing about, and that includes Trump himself. Very soon they don't come out with a full disclosure on 9/11, and I don't care if it hurts somebody's feelings or not, a full disclosure, then they're not on our side. We can't have any more of this subterfuge and lies. It's got to all be put out on the table. And, you know, innocent blood was shed that day, and the Bible says your land is cursed until innocent blood has been avenged. All right? Mm-hmm. That's in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. So America's under a curse because of all the innocent blood on our hands. We the people, we've got blood on our hands, not only here in America, but in other countries. We've got nasty, nasty blood on our hands. And you can't cleanse that unless it's with the whole truth. And those innocent lives need to be avenged by the truth of who took their lives coming out. You're cursed. Your country's cursed. And you know, my friend that was the special forces, I interviewed him many years ago, Stephen Barry. He was a sergeant first class, and he wrote the magazine called The Resistor, the warfare journal for the special forces underground. And he and I used to do some really lively interviews on the radio, and he was what he called, he called himself a primitive Catholic. So, and of course, I teach identity. And so when we got onto religious things, of course, we had a few disagreements, nothing major, but a few. And so at one point he said on the air, he said, Dan, let's do this. He said, let's win our country back. Let's you and I fight together and win our country back, and then we can sit around the campfire and have a debate about the finer points of theology.
Exactly. Exactly.
Right. Let's win our country back, yes, and then we can argue the finer points of theology.
Right. And until we work together and put those concerns in their proper order, it's going to take working together,
right?
Educating our fellows. So many people just don't know, and there's a lot of fear, Dan. You know, you wonder. People ask, especially after waking up to 9/11. It took someone passing me a DVD in 2005, and I was snookered like so many other people, because I wasn't aware of other instances. You know, I didn't have the history that you may have had at that time, and others that I just didn't know. All I had was the television and the people around me. And when the DVD came around and woke me up to 9/11 being a fraud, I was mad. I was mad at myself for being hoodwinked, let myself be hoodwinked. And boy, did I try to make up for it ever since.
Mm-hmm.
I think getting back to that lawyers committee for 9/11 inquiry, lc4911.com or .org. This is something that if we can share with other people as much as possible, and just let people know about it like you did in the first part of the show tonight, and just try to make as many people aware of this as possible, we might be able to crack through, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But there's so much fear, and there's a natural fear, fear of being separated from the herd, and
mm-hmm.
You know, and I think people intuitively know, you know, Dan, it took a small child who didn't know any better to shout out what everybody could see: the emperor had no clothes.
Right.
You know. And because everybody could see it, but there's this innate fear of being separated from the herd. At some level, people know if they shout out, "Hey, the emperor has no clothes," they're going to be all alone with it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, you were paying attention to what was going on right around 9/11 and soon after. You know, you had tenured college professors like the fella from the Brigham Young, you know, who analyzed the structure, Stephen Jones, Professor Stephen Jones, say, you know, hey, the way these buildings fell, there's no way in heck the official story fits that, you know.
Right.
And he was bounced right out of the university, you know. And then there was another professor up in Wisconsin, Professor Kevin Barrett, and he was also questioning 9/11, and they just, the media and everybody demanded his head, you know, and and these people are made an example, and you see they didn't have every, they didn't, you didn't see all these other professors coming to stand with them and back them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They just left them hanging out and dry, and that message is received loud and clear. You know, if you're a professor, you're not gonna speak up, or you're gonna lose. You know, you're gonna be ostracized. And I believe that's a. You know, I've wondered for years, why the hell aren't more people speaking up? Why aren't the firefighters? If anyone knows that fires fueled by office furnishings and kerosene-based jet fuel cannot make two 110-story steel frame concrete skyscrapers blow up into dust and fall in perfect symmetry and near free fall speed, you know,
you
don't have
impossible.
To be a firefighter. Yeah, you know, if anyone should know, a fire does not do that. It's a firefighter, you know, and they lost 343 of their brothers, which they remind us of on a daily basis almost around this country. And why aren't any of them speaking up? And, you know, it's easy for me to question that, not walking in their shoes. You know, I don't have a couple of kids at home that in a house payment. And, you know, even if you didn't, even if you were all set money-wise and everything, you know, you're still going to be ostracized. You're still going to be cut off from your brothers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believe there's a lot of self-censoring. And it's understandable. But for those of us who are able to get out and question and share with others, even if it's just the littlest thing, you know, putting a flyer in a junk mail return at postage paid envelope, you know, you get this junk mail.
Mm-hmm.
Save the postage paid envelope and put a 9/11 truth flyer in it and pop it in the mailbox, you know.
Right.
Or, you know, write down a website on, you know, the bathroom wall or something, you know, over the urinal. Anything, man, you know, any if it has to be anonymous, you know. And if you can do more, you know, get out and just get active in your community as best you can. Nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something, and do something.
Yeah. You know, the fear and the control of people that are trying to tell the truth reminds me of the biblical archaeologist Stephen Collins, who lives up in Royal Oak, Michigan. He wrote, I think it's five, it might be six, but at least five books on who the real Israelites are. And it fits in perfectly with the identity message, because he verifies that the Caucasian peoples from Europe are the tribes of Israel in the Bible. And they're excellent books. But even in those books, he says, academia knows what I'm writing about here. They all know it. That it's true. He goes, but you will not find one professor that will speak in public and acknowledge what I'm writing about in these books. And it's the same idea. If it goes against the narrative, if it goes against the propaganda and the brainwashing that we're all under, then they use this force. The beast system puts pressure, whether it's financial pressure, threats of against your family or your life, threats against your career, whatever. Even in academia, they don't even want something as simple as that, the truth of who the white race is in relation to the people of the Bible. Why? Because it destroys this whole thing that these people called Jews are these special people in the eyes of God, and everybody else is called Gentiles because we're not part of that special group. Well, that's all a social construct. There's no truth in that whatsoever. Arthur Koestler, who himself was Jewish, wrote the book The 13th Tribe, and he completely destroys that whole myth about the Jews, because they're all Khazars. 95% of them, anyway, are Khazars from a land called Khazaria, which is pretty close to where present-day Ukraine is over in Eastern Europe. So, you know, these truths are out there. It's just we've been fed a story, and if it doesn't go with the story and the narrative, they try to quash it, just like the USS Liberty. They wanted the narrative to be that the Egyptians did it so that we would go kill Egyptians for the Zionist-controlled government here in the United States. And Lyndon Baines Johnson was more than willing that that entire ship full of Navy sailors go to the bottom of the ocean in order to protect his Israeli friends.
Yes.
That's sick.
It is. And it's wrong. And that's part of our activism for at least the past 10 years has been advocating for the men of the USS Liberty. And we do annual USS Liberty Remembrance Days every June 8th. And I appreciate your help in the past as far as spreading the word for our events. But you mentioned Israel and the true Semitic people versus the Khazarians. It's two different places, isn't it, Dan?
No, I missed that question.
Yeah. Yeah, that you're accused of being anti-Semite by if you question what the state of Israel does, and but you look at the Khazarian peoples, they're not originally from the what do you call it? They're not original Semites, you know, if you
no, they're not.
In history.
Right.
And I'm starting to, I don't want to talk too much about this because I'll let you all know how really stupid I am on it, or ignorant rather, that's thrown at you, these labels. You're accused anytime you're questioning something that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
They throw a label at you and they call you this and you're a racist, you're an anti-Semite. And my response is, hey, I don't care what country it is. If it's Italy or Ireland, which are the countries of my own heritage, or Israel, what they did was wrong, you know, and we've got to deal with it. That's how I answer this anti-Semite charge whenever it's ever tossed at me.
You know what that is, Phil? It's called ad hominem attack.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're famous for. Ad hominem means to the man. It's Latin. But it's basically saying that they attack you as a person rather than the issue. So you always know when you've got the Jews against the ropes because they switch to the ad hominem attack against you as a person. They'll call you names. They go off on tangents because they can't win the argument because they're usually 99% of the time, they're full of crap. They're liars. And that's one of them. If you start pointing out that, well, you're not the people of the Bible, that's easy to prove. Oh, my God, you must be anti-Jewish. Oh, you're anti-Semite. Well, Semite comes from the word Shem, and it used to be pronounced Shemite, and it means children descended from Shem, and that's the white race, and they are not. So the irony is they're calling us anti-Shemites when we're the Shemites and they're not. I mean, see, this whole world is upside down today. By the way, yeah. Phil, I looked it up. If you try to find LC4, by the way, that's LCFOR, not FOUR.
Right.
So, okay, because I thought you said
I apologize for giving the wrong address. Yes.
Yeah, it's LC4FOR911.org. But it's also found at Lawyers Committee, spelled out, 49-11inquiry.org. So you could go to either one, LC FOR911.org would be, obviously be the easiest one.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that must be the problem, because I was trying to find it while you were talking, and it kept coming up with nothing. But that's because four is F-O-R and not F-O-U-R.
I'm sorry, guys.
that's okay.
Well, gee, Dad, I know there's other people listening. I've just been babbling along, chewing up valuable time. Am I taking time away from any of the other listeners?
If they, believe me, my audience is not bashful. If they've got something to say, they'll let us know real quick.
Okay.
But that's fine. And besides, they get to hear me jack my jaws quite frequently. So it's always nice if a guest comes in with more information, especially when it's stuff that, you know, verifies things that we've talked about on the program. So, you know.
Well, the Liberty. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Well,
I was
the
done.
Thing about the USS Liberty, you know, why I wanted to speak a little bit about it, you know, it is related to 9/11. You know, if one thing it does, and you've already shared how the President Johnson covered the daggone thing up and was part of the false flag attack. You know, this demonstrates that our government will kill its own people.
Oh yeah.
To get support for a war that has nothing to do with protecting the American people or the United States of America. You know, it's for the benefit of other states or a whole bunch of others. You know, And then I know there's the author, and you attended our event with Christopher Bolin, the investigative journalist and author who has done a heck of a lot of research into the Israeli involvement with 9/11, you know?
Right.
There is a connection, you know, and not only do the guys on the Liberty that were set up, you know, and 34 of them were killed, 170 some odd were wounded. It was a clear act of murder and war, murder of American servicemen and war an act of war on the United States of America. And our government turned their backs on them and let Israel off the hook. Israel was guilty of sin, man. And there's so much evidence out there now. And some of these guys haven't died off yet, you know, the mm-hmm. Liberty vets. Number one, we owe them. We owe them the truth. We owe them due process and justice. But at the same time, the whole thing with the Liberty is it's crucial in getting to the truth and justice regarding the attacks of 9/11. You know, there's so right. many connections there, and so I'm so glad you brought up the USS Liberty. And there's the website USSLibertyVeterans.org. Is their website, the Liberty Veterans, USSLibertyVeterans.org. And if any of the listeners want to look into that and maybe help out. And there's also literature that you could download for free and print out, these flyers, you know. You could find a lot of that at ifamericansknew.org, you know, with Allison Weir, and they do great work with the Israel-Palestine issue. And what I do, Dan, with the flyers, I have a USS Liberty flyers that I print out and keep a stack on the front seat of the car, as well mm-hmm. as Firefighters for 9/11 Truth flyers. I keep a stack of them on the front seat of the car. You know, you go into the supermarket or whatever, and or wherever you are, and you're in the parking lot, and you see all these different vehicles, and the firefighters like to stick their little stickers on the back window of their truck or whatever, or the firefighters' license plates. You know, every time I see one of those, I'll pop one of those flyers under the windshield wiper, you know.
Right.
And then the same thing with the USS Liberty. You'll see bumper stickers and license plates, you know, Navy veteran or, you know, fly Navy or whatever, you know, or the Marines. You know, there were Marines killed on that, U.S. Marines killed on that ship on the attack on the Liberty, too, that day. And I'll put a USS Liberty flyer under the windshield wiper of that vehicle. Every little bit is another pencil hole in the dam. You know, nobody can do everything, but everybody can do something.
Oh, amen to that.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole thing, and that's why we so often say, you know, Christ said, "Will I find faith upon the earth when I return?" And here's the thing. People say, well, of course, there's lots of faith. Look how many churches, how many Bibles. No. Because faith produces works. And if it doesn't produce works, it's dead. The faith is dead. There is no real faith because it's impossible. Okay? It's impossible to say you have faith and not produce works. Because if you have faith and you believe in a creator God and believe that you were going to be judged, how could it not produce works? You know what I mean? How could it not produce works? So that's what he meant. Will I find faith? I guess we could have said, will I find the faith that produces works when I return? Now it makes more sense. People might understand that. A lot of these churches would be pretty much empty because the people going there want to go there because they think that's all they have to do is once a week suffer through a 40-minute lecture by the preacher and then run home to their football game, and they've done their duty to God. So when the preacher says, well, it's faith that produces works, uh-oh, you mean I actually have to do something more than just show up to this building once a week?
Yeah.
Wait a minute. I don't know if I really want to be involved in this. I mean, you know, it's really that it's crazy because I've been to the churches. I know what's in there. There's a whole lot of people that they're just putting in their time. They don't want to change the world. They don't want to get in. They don't want any confrontation. They don't want to stand for anything. Don't want to be bothered. Just let me put my hour in the pew. I'll suffer through the sermon. That's it. That's as far as I go. And I'll bet you 95% of the people in those whitewashed sepulchers called churches, that's exactly what they are. They're pew setters.
Mm.
That's all they are.
And those who do want to do a little more and who are hearing you, you know, the pew sitters that may be hearing you and your message right now, just do something. Don't have to change the world yourself, but just do something.
Right.
You know?
Everybody can do something.
Start small. Yes.
Right. You can do something. Like you said, one flyer. One flyer a week is better than nothing.
Exactly.
I think Gary in San Diego had something he wanted to say. Gary, did you have a question or a comment?
Yes, I heard you guys talking about the Liberty. And I always hear people talking about the Liberty, you know, and I agree with that. But they never tell why they were trying to blow it out of the water, the Israelis. And the reasons I've heard for them trying to sink it was that way they could blame the Egyptians, and then the United States would go to war for Israel against the Egyptians. Now, that's my understanding. If you guys have something different in that, then I'd like to hear it.
No, that's exactly why they were. That's exactly why they did it. That was a planned event by Lyndon Johnson was part of it. So was McNamara, and I believe there's another well-known name that's in there. Can't think of him now, but they were all part of it. And of course, the Israelis themselves were part of it. And you're right. the whole thing was to sink the ship with aircraft that had the Israeli markings were stripped off of it, but they the Americans knew they were Israelis because they could see the guys in it, and they could recognize the planes even though the identification had been taken off.
It would have been a textbook false flag attack.
Exactly.
As we began our conversation, that it's a false flag attack, you know, to blame on somebody else to get support from the people to go ahead and invade a country that has nothing to do with the protecting America. It's just to invade a war of aggression, invade another country for other people's benefit. And sure enough, that's the same. 9/11 was the same thing as the USS Liberty. Yes, they wanted to blame it on
blame the Muslims.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you know, as I read the scriptures and I read history, there's always wars and rumors of wars, and every time, guess who starts it? And he enjoys the benefit from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
The bankers, yeah.
That was the Jews. I mean, you were talking about that land that's close to the Ukraine. That's Georgia. That's where all your Khazars and Bolsheviks and all them moved into that little piece of land there to have something. And it's really sad. You trace these guys back, they go right back to Esau, Edom. And they're not a good people at all. You know, they don't want to go along and get along. They want to go along and take over and have the power. You know, why can't they just let us alone? Because they want what we have.
Well, even Jews themselves have written books and documents about them being parasites, the world's revolutionaries. Don't you non-Jews understand that the Jew will never be satisfied? There's nothing you can do to satisfy him. He will always want more money, more control, more enslavement, more death, rape, and misery. There's no satiating these people. And that's their own people saying this. That's not Dan or Gary or Phil saying it. These are fellow rabbis and Jews that have said that, authors.
You know, if you look into the slave market, you know, go up to Rhode Island where that one Jewish guy was involved in, he was a multi-billionaire back in slavery. He made all of his money off of slaves. They brought them over here, not us. You know,
mm-hmm.
They brought them over here. Our problem was we purchased them, which was sort of dumb. But we had nothing to do with bringing those blacks over here, putting them in slavery. None whatsoever. As a matter of fact, we bought them and saved them from a life of agony, a lot of them. And a lot of them, they were getting close to having a Navy ship pull them over. On those slave ships, they tie a big steel ball to one of them's hands. All of them are chained together, and overboard they go. These Jewish guys are not a good people. They're very bad. They're very wicked.
Well, that is coming out. The world is waking up to it. I'm reading comments by people over and over and over that say that, you know, these folks need to be corralled and their power taken away from them. But, you know, we read all the time on the program here that Ezekiel chapter 25, verse 14, and Obadiah chapter 1, verse 18, both of them say almost the identical thing, that my people, Jacob Israel, will be the ones that I will use to bring my vengeance upon Edom Esau. And according to Obadiah, it says there will be none remaining to the house of Esau once we're done with them. That's right out of the Bible. Okay?
Well, Pastor, we are Yeshua's children. You know, we're his. And what's
right.
happening is the Jews and Lucifer are messing with Yeshua's property. You know, Yeshua gives us property way over here, out of the way, away from them, and I'll be dang if they just don't, you know, come on, follow us everywhere we go. And Yeshua tries to be nice to them by not coming down on them for what they've done to us over the years. I mean, look at South Africa. Look what they did there. They went down there, they built that up, and next thing you know, here they come, using the blacks as a tool to punish, or not to punish, but to murder, you know, the Caucasians. It's terrible.
Right. Well, you look at the things we're talking about tonight. Now, Phil and I have been talking about the USS Liberty and the towers on 9/11. Well, who are we finding out was behind both of those escapades? Okay? Well, Jews. Israeli fingerprints are all over both of those incidences. And those are two major acts of war and aggression against we the people and our military by somebody that claims to be our friends, but they're not our friends.
Muslims come in our land. They're opening the gates to let all the Mexicans come in our land. Mexicans are Canaanites, you know, period. They were the ones who were brought over here years ago for Solomon and the tribe of Dan to dig the gold mines and the copper mines. And they were left here just like they did with the blacks down in Panama. So
you know, it says in the scripture that if the truth be not told, then I will cause the stones to cry out. And to me, that stones crying out is archaeology. And archaeologists, when they're honest, like E. Raymond Capt, Stephen Collins, Dr. Barry Fell, he wrote the book America B.C., and I'm sure there's many others, but those are three at the top of my on the top of my list here. When they speak the truth about what they've discovered in archaeology, it proves that everything we're saying is true.
So, well, you know, I get tired of these people saying, oh, well, they were here first. I said, who told you that? I said, you better go back and study your ancient history. You're talking out the wrong end here. They were brought over here by us to dig the gold mines and the copper mines. And after we got what we wanted, we just left them here, which we're not supposed to do, but we did. And so, all we did was come back and take back what we already had.
Well, that's why they tried to cover up Kennewick Man up in Washington State, because Kennewick Man is a perfectly preserved mummy of a Caucasoid that was dated at least 7,000 years old, and he was buried up along the banks of the Kennewick River in Washington State, and they tried to say that he was an Indian, so we're going to give the body to the Indians to bury it right away before the archaeologists and the forensic scientists had a chance to study it. And there was a big battle over that for a long time. And you can imagine the ethnicity of the lawyers trying to prevent the truth of that coming out. And eventually the scientists and archaeologists won, and they were able to do a computer model of what this guy looked like when he was alive. And guess what? He looked just like Pat, I can't think of his name, the guy on Star Trek, not the original Star Trek, the second one, the French guy that was supposed to be the commander of the Enterprise. What's his name? Oh, my God, the actor. Bald. He's bald.
Patrick something,
that I can't think of his last name. But anyway, it wasn't Kirk. What was his name, though? Commander what? Lassard? No, not Lassard. Whatever. Anyway, when the computer got done putting the facial features and everything to this guy, what he looked like when he walked this earth 7,000 years ago, he looked a lot like the guy that played the commander of the USS Enterprise on the Star Trek shows. So, you know, the evidence is here, but again, there is a concerted effort by a, quote, group of people, gee, I wonder who that is, that just don't want the truth.
You think they have a big protrusion off their face, you know, these guys are trying to stop everything?
Yeah, it's called the Mark of Cain.
Yeah, that big hook nose.
Well,
not all of them have that because they've interbred with everything, so it's done away with that. Or it's like Cher. She was Jewish. And she went and had an operation, had her nose taken down. So
did Bette Midler. Bette Midler had a huge nose when she was back in the 1970s, and she had to have that reduced because that was just, that was huge. I just saw a picture comparing her from the 1970s when she was young and just starting to become famous and what she looks like now. And it's like Michael Jackson. When you see pictures of Michael Jackson as a young boy and look at what he became, it's like how many surgeries and plastic surgeries and pigmentation changes that he went through. Probably one of the reasons he died young. I mean, you know, it's just amazing to me. Amazing to me how much is out there. It's truth. It's there in front of your face. But for political reasons, we're not allowed to tell the truth about it. In the Mark of Cain, as far as the scripture goes, you think about it. Now, what was the Mark of Cain for? So people could tell he was cast out of the garden and he was not to be killed right away for some reason. But whatever that mark had to be visible. And back then, there wasn't much visible except the face. I mean,
well, he had his nose and plus he probably had brown skin. But, you know, every time I go out here and I go to say something about somebody, you know, well, that guy's black. Oh, you're racist. I said, wait a minute. You think my God is stupid? He didn't know how to mark people so we could recognize him? You think I can't tell a difference between that guy who's got black skin, kinky hair, flat nose, you know, versus me? You know, I have white skin, straight hair.
They're trying to take away sex and ethnicity. All right, they're trying to blur the lines of demarcation between everything.
Oh,
everything.
Yeah.
Well, who wants to do that? Satan does. Not Yahweh's people. Satan wants to do that. He doesn't want any identification amongst us. He doesn't want us to recognize age. Look at Ginsburg, that witch on the Supreme Court who wanted the age of consent done away with.
Yeah, she's
age
I
of
can't,
consent for a girl be done away with. You can have sex with a young girl of any age. Well, where does that come from? That's a Talmud thing.
And what
the Jew is not telling you is the Talmud says it's okay for the Jew to take a girl of any age, but you can't take a Jewish girl of any age. You see, that's what they don't tell you. That's only the rules about our people. That's only the rules about our people.
See, they take all that really wicked stuff. They call themselves Israelites. So, you know where all kinds of blame goes on. It goes on the backs of Israel when it's really Esau, Edom, that's doing that crap. I mean, when you take that judge, why is she still living?
She's been, from what I'm hearing, she's been, her power's been taken away. She won't be on the Supreme Court much longer. So maybe there are some good guys trying to change it, guys. Maybe there are, because I'm seeing some signs with Ginsburg going, Poppy. And by the way, Poppy is not a term of endearment. Bush was known as Poppy because of the poppy fields overseas where all of his damn drugs were coming from. That wasn't a grandpa or dad or something like that. That's bullcrap. That poppy had to do with the poppy seeds from his damn drug dealing that was bringing all the drugs over here. It's just ridiculous. I mean, people need to wake the hell up. I mean, it's right there in your face, and yet people still don't see it. I mean, wait till the news about what Father's going to do with this world, and just like in the days of Noah, I mean, nobody thought it was going to rain. They made fun of Noah and his family building that big old boat and putting all those animals in it, and they sat there laughing at them, and then all of a sudden the raindrops started falling. Uh-oh. Well, guess
it
what?
Rained a lot. It rained a whole bunch here in the last couple hours. Here in San Diego, we don't get rain, but man, did it come down. And I'm sitting there going, and I'm thinking, the rain back in Noah's time was a lot heavier than this, you know.
Oh, well, hell yeah. By the way, for the folks out there in the middle part of the country, I just saw a report that was put out that there's a monster winter storm that could affect a large part of the United States, especially in the areas of the Carolinas and Virginia, up in that area, the lower Appalachian Mountain area. So be on the lookout for that, because it's being underreported from what I'm hearing anyway.
Well, so, you know, he's probably putting that together. You know, those guys that used to do HAARP, and now they got even fancier machines to cause all kinds of problems.
Well,
I wonder why Xavier is allowing them to mess with what he put out here, the weather. He's supposed to control it, not them.
Well, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. All this can be done away with, and what Phil's been talking about, all this could be overturned in a very short period of time. All this truth could be revealed if the righteous sons of Yahweh decide they're done with putting up with this. We're the ones that are the problem. You can't get the white men to stick together on anything anymore. We're the problem. If we get together as the men of Jacob Israel, the white race, and we decide we're not going to put up with this crap anymore, guess what? It ends tomorrow. We keep hoping politicians, military, media, religion, all these other things, we're sitting around as if they're in charge and we have to wait for them. No, we don't. What we need is the white race to, first of all, repent and come back to the Father, and second of all, join ranks and decide on some leaders and say, we're done waiting. We're not going to allow our white kinsmen in South Africa to be butchered by that piece of shit that's in charge of South Africa. Excuse my French, but that's what he is, a piece of shit. All right? We're not going to sit around and watch Rothschild agents in Canada and France destroy our countrymen's countries. We're not going to watch a Rothschild agent by the name of Merkel destroy Germany and Theresa May, another Edomite in the United Kingdom. We're not going to sit around and wait for that. Only the white race can stop it. That's why they have to destroy us. That's why they have to bring so much propaganda against us. They're not afraid of an uprising by the browns and the yellows and the blacks. They're not worried about that. They know the book. They know the book better than most of our people do, and they know what the book says, just like I said right there from Ezekiel and Obadiah. They know who has the commission to put an end of all this. All the rapes, all the murders, all the wars, all of the taking advantage of all the other people and stealing their property, stealing their resources, hiding the technologies that would make everybody prosper and be healthy on this earth. They know that. We're the problem. How do you get the white race to work together, guys? That's what I want to know. What's it going to take to get the white man to decide that he's had enough? And we're going to stop listening to the bitching of our women, our children, and all the non-whites out there, and we're going to actually look to each other and say, you know, guys, we got a job to do. We got a job to do. We've been sitting on our ass, and this world's gone to hell. And Yahweh put us down here to keep the garden. Isn't that what it says in Genesis? Adam was put here to tend the garden.
I was just going to say something about that. Back, you know, Adam was put here to tend the garden, you know, the trees and what have you. He was not to mess with that tree in the middle of the garden called Lucifer. Stay away from him. And the first thing that Eve, I mean, when you talk about the women, you know, Eve had to do was race over there and fall in love with this fallen angel. Next thing you know, she's popping out Cain, and we've had problems ever since. And then she talked Adam into doing the same thing. So, I mean, it's all crazy. These people
But here again, to defend Eve, who was at fault there? Eve, or was it Adam that left Eve alone?
It was Adam. You know, we're all trusted with all. No, those guys are slick. You know, they're slick. I can take you right down here to where the blacks live, okay? Now, I know you've been there, too. And those guys can talk. They can talk you out of your eye teeth. They can talk. So if they can talk, you can imagine how much Lucifer's, it wasn't Lucifer, it was one of his angels, could talk.
Nakash.
And, yeah, he did just that.
Yeah, exactly. But he didn't accomplish it until Adam wasn't near Eve. Adam mm-hmm. left Eve unattended. And I'm going to tell you, for a long time, our men have never left our women unattended, ever. I even remember back in the 50s as a young boy, you didn't find women off on their own very much. I remember my mother didn't go into town to shop unless my dad was with her or one of my uncles, okay? Women didn't go traipsing off by themselves the way they do today.
But, Pastor, there was one thing that happened. I know I'm part of that problem, or it happened in our family, is a lot of men were in the service. You know, it's like my dad, he was in the Navy, and they'd ship him off for 6 months to the Philippines or something, for what reason, I don't know. And then what happens is it leaves that woman home alone. And the next thing you know, she sees these city lights and all this, and she's off and running. You know, I know how it works. The next thing you know, they're stuffing it with beer and all this stuff. And then the rest is, you know, you can imagine what takes place. And it has. You know, our women have been left alone to be diseased as such. It's just terrible what this enemy can do. If he can cause enough wars and get us involved in it and get us killed, you know, he gets control of our women again.
Think about it. When I was during Vietnam, when I was in the Air Force, there were only two guys in all the time that I was stationed at the air base I was at, there were only two guys that left the military with the same woman they entered the military with. Only two. Everybody else was divorced.
Mm-hmm.
All right, why? Because of exactly what we said. The guy was over in Nam, and the wife's back on the base, unattended, and mischief happens. So next thing he knows, he comes back from Vietnam to find out that she's already taken up housing with another guy and took his possessions to boot.
Mm-hmm. I know, I did that once too, a Seder, and it's very saddening. But you know what happened to me? Is this woman I was married to, she left me, and I gave her $25,000. That was a split for what she owned in the house, everything. 20 years later, this woman comes back, takes me to court for $100,000 on a lie. And she was married to a Jew, and he was, of course, supporting it. Well, he was behind it. And, it was right there in front of the judge. I just told him, you know, this guy did this and this and this. That's what we did. And the judge still saw it her way and awarded her lots of money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's today. These divorce court judges are garbage.
Well, the whole court system, everything is corrupt. And that's what Phil and I were just talking about. And I've said it many, many times. Ever since 2009... military tribunals, you know, everybody laughed at me when I first started talking about military tribunals back then. But like I told everybody, it's the only thing that's going to save us, guys. You're never going to get the white guys to work together. First of all, they're like herding cats. Every one of them wants to be the chief. None of them want to be an Indian. All of them think that they know more than everybody else. You can't get them to work together on diddly squat. And the rest of the races, including the Jews, are just laughing their asses off at the white guys because we're cucks and we're disorganized and we'd rather fight with each other than come together and get something accomplished.
It's true.
It's pathetic. So the only hope is that the military still has some sanity there amongst the leadership to know that if they don't step in and save this ship, it's going to sink. The ship called the United States of America is taking on water, and it will sink.
I sit down and I dream to see Hillary standing there with her hands behind her back, handcuffed. you know, and pedestrian, all those. I said, that would be so great. But like you said, it's probably going to have to be done by military. It's going to have to be done by a general to just take them away. No.
Well, I think the military tribunals are coming. I believe that 100%. The executive order was signed. It takes effect January 1st, and you can, because of the Kavanaugh confirmation, when he was asked about military justice and military tribunals, how they work and who it applies to, etc., and Trump's executive order that amends the Uniform Code of Military Justice, you start putting all that together, somebody's going to stand in front of military tribunals. It's either going to be the Satanists or the believers. But somebody's going to stand in front of a tribunal here in the very near future.
Well, it could be a lot of Christians because they were so stupid they let a lot of things hide, you know, go by.
And well, here again, the choice is ours. If the white race will repent, which means change the way you think, come back to the Father, and start working together as a team, we can fix any problem that's out there. The fixes are easy. It's getting
the people that can do
the fixing to do it.
Well, Pastor, you know, when I read John Epistle 1, and it says, those that don't believe in Jesus Christ come in the flesh are the Antichrist. I mean, that's as plain as the nose on your face. And yet, here's what these preachers do. They say, oh, no, we don't want to do that with him. We want to make these guys God's chosen people.
Well, they're liars.
Where do you get that out of the scriptures?
They're
you
liars.
See, they say, oh, we go by the Bible here. Oh, you do? Well, why are you doing that?
No,
I got kicked out of church for that, you know, because I didn't want to believe it.
Hey, and Phil, you
like
haven't
said
anything.
Oh, yes, I'm listening. Thank you. I'm starting to get, I'm about past my bedtime now. I'm sorry to say, I get up pretty early in the morning. So I was getting ready to sign off, Dan, and I want to thank you so much for the opportunity to come on the show tonight. And I do appreciate listening to Gary. I was listening very closely. And I did want to mention when he said earlier that there's someone that benefits from both sides of each war, and I spoke up saying the bankers. I did also want to mention that a video on YouTube called All Wars Are Bankers' Wars. It's 43 minutes long and done by Michael Rivero of WhatReallyHappened.com. But I don't want to take any more of the time that you and Gary are having right now. So, but thank you for, once again, Dan, for the opportunity to come on the show tonight and share what we've been doing up here in Daytona Beach and our recent experience with the 9/11 truth rallies.
Absolutely, Phil, and you keep up the good work, and Yahweh bless your heart and watch over you and protect you and all the other folks up there.
Oh, amen.
You, and the same to you folks as well. Wish you all the best.
All right, Phil, take care, buddy. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Praise God. Looks like the only guys here doing anything anymore is coming out of Florida.
Well, Florida's got a lot of rebels. That's one of the reasons that every time I ask the Father where to look to build a community or an art community or a farming community with our people on it and get back to our basics and our roots, because it's getting harder and harder to find uncontaminated food, for one thing. We need to get back to the farms and grow it ourselves. Ever since I've asked for that, it seems to always point to Florida. It's just been amazing how many authors and broadcasters and Renegade Tribute is out of Florida, and you got Mark Taylor's out of Florida, and you got Phil here and his crew's out of Florida, and you got Jay and his crew's out of Florida, and you got, you know, there's just a lot of people in Florida who are taking a stand, and I haven't even mentioned them all. There's a large contingent of Second Amendment, pro-Second Amendment people here, and a large contingent of those that want to reform the education system out of Florida. And
well, you know, you also have the President of the United States has a big property there in Florida.
Well, yeah, that's right. Yeah, his second home. Actually, it's his first home, I think. But anyway, he calls it his second home. I think President Trump is down here in Florida. So, you know, for some reason, and besides that, look at what the word florid. What does florid mean? Florid means to show blood in the face, be rough or ruddy.
You not only have the president there with property, you have a congressman who is now your governor, and it was a hard fight, and he won. Then you also have your past governor is now your United States senator, so there's been some great victories down there. Here in California, shoot, the Republicans can't even win anything.
Yeah, but there's a secessionist movement that I think is going to gain strength here going forward to divide. California's too big anyway, divided into three states. And two of those states would be solid conservative, and then let all the flakes and snowflakes and soy boys and girls stay in the blue zone with all of the degenerates and everything else. No end up
well,
just...
It was split up to where... To what I've seen, San Francisco and Los Angeles would be one state. And we're going, man, that's great. Because you know what? Now you got all the Mexicans in Los Angeles. They got to feed them. And how are they going to do that? Steal from us? Forget it. You know?
Well, that's... we live in interesting times. I'm still telling people to watch out for the next month to 5 weeks. 4 to 5 weeks is going to be critical. This next 4 to 5 weeks is going to be critical. That's all I can tell you. Big, big changes. What we know today and what we're going to know 6 weeks from now are going to be two different things. Trust me.
I heard there's a big bunch of arrests going to take place. That would be nice.
Well, it's already started in Arkansas, and I also saw where Epstein is still in trouble. And some other big figure has been indicted, and another guy has been arrested. And I can't remember the details, but that was just tonight. So that's why I'm saying there are some rumblings and some signs, and that's why I say be on your toes over the next 5 weeks, because literally almost anything could happen over the next 5 weeks. So, and then we got that potentially this mega storm, whether it's man-made or not, what difference does it make? It's still going to be a storm. It's still going to hit us. And you better have some foodstuffs and batteries and sources of heat and all that on hand just in case, because they're saying it could be the storm of the century. And if they're generating it, well, then they'll know, won't they? But whether it's generated or not doesn't make any difference to the people that are under 90.
You know what's amazing about these people, Pastor? You know, it's like this storm. They own land here. They own money here. They own banks here. They're willing to just sacrifice themselves for whatever, you know, because they're going to destroy their stuff. They don't think about that.
Well, you got to remember the alpha wolf amongst the Jews has already moved his vast fortunes out of the country. They've been buying large estates in Central and South America and other places for quite some time now, and so they're making their getaway plans already. When they feel that it's the darkness is about to approach, they're going to hightail it out of this country. So they don't care. They don't care what happens here. And even, what's his name, Ariel Sharon, and I think there was some other major, quote, celebrity Jew, made the statement that we'll suck the lifeblood out of America till it's only a shell left, and then we'll move on. I mean, he was bragging about the fact that they're going to siphon the financial blood right out of us like a victim, like a vampire does to its victim, and then they'll just move on probably to China. China's the next victim. A lot of Jewish money and a lot of Jewish influence has been going over to China for quite some time. And I'm going to tell you something. The Chinese slipping those chips that are spying on us into our software and into our computers and even some of our military equipment, if you think that's by accident, you're dumber than a box of rocks. That was done under the direction of the Mossad, Israeli Mossad, and the Chinese were complicit. If you think the Chinese figured that out on their own, you're crazy. That was being directed by the Mossad. So they made the chips in China, but that was a Mossad operation to fit those chips in there because electronic spying is their specialty. How do you think the Jews come up with all their ideas on new technology and all this stuff? They are listening in on virtually everything going across the electronic media. So when somebody has a great idea and they talk about it, guess who's listening in?
I thought it was because they were intelligent people. They're a slick people as far as deception goes, but
no.
that's all what they have. That's what the scriptures.
No, they're spies. They're spies. Who are the most infamous spies in American history? The most infamous spies that ever did the most damage to our military in the history of this country. Every one of them was a Jew. Pollard, yeah. Rosenbergs, on and on and on and on. The most infamous mass murderers and serial killers, guess who they were? Jews.
Well,
all
Rosenberg,
right?
they went to the electric chair. I'd like to see some more follow in their footsteps.
Well, the point of it is, it's these people that the preachers, these lying prostitutes and these whitewashed sepulchers are telling us that these are God's chosen people and they're doing great damage to our country and every other white nation because of these lying prostitutes. When are we going to be done with them?
I heard a person that I meet here and there occasionally talking about, what's his name, Joe, that preacher that has that in a football stadium. What's his name? Joe something. What's his name, honey?
Joel Osteen.
Oh.
And I said, man, you got to listen to that guy. That guy's he goes way off the scripture sometimes. You know, all sit back. If you guys give money, it's going to come back. And, oh, man, get out of here. I've spent money before listening to that crap, and it never came back. I got more bills.
Yeah, well, he's laughing all the way to bank to deposit his shekels in at the synagogue bank. He's another Talmud thumper in secret, you know, just like Georgie Bush with his yarmulke carrying his Talmud under his arm. Americans need to wake the hell up. I'm about ready.
They spent a lot of money on little Jebby Bush, a lot of money on his campaign, and he didn't go anywhere.
Well, I think people are waking up. People are waking up. So we need to keep the prayers going. And whatever, just like Phil was saying, everybody can do something. Because everybody says, well, this is too big a problem. We can't solve it. Well, let me see. When Christ took off to evangelize, he only had 12 guys with him. Seems to me they had a pretty major impact on this earth, didn't they? It was just Christ and 12 disciples. But I'm going to tell
Elk
you something.
And I, we,
they didn't
Elk and I,
compromise.
Well, Elk and I mean, we don't get out there and knock on doors or anything. What we do, though, is we read what's going on and we go to prayer. That is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon. And
prayer
Christians,
is a weapon, and then you follow it up with some kind of action. I think you got to have both. Prayer is fine, and action could be calling in on a talk show like you're doing right now and spreading truth. Okay, that's an action. Sending out an email to 25 or 30 friends that's got some kind of piece of truth in it. Truth is a weapon. Prayer is a weapon, but back it up with acts of truth. What does it say Christ comes back with on a charger for war? What's proceeding out of his mouth, Gary? What does the book say? What's that proceeding out of his mouth when he comes back to do war with these antichrists?
Two-edged sword.
A two-edged sword out of his mouth. You know, from when I was a kid, I used to read that, and I'm going, he's not gonna have a sword in his mouth. I mean, that would be totally ridiculous. That's an idiomatic expression that his words, his truths will cut like a sword. Truth is what these people can't stand. That's why they propagate so many lies, and they control the media with their money, because that can change the narrative and propagate a lie. Remember, the truth can stand on its own, but it takes the force of government to promote a lie. It takes the force of the mainstream media to promote a lie.
I listen to the mainstream media, CNN and CNBC or something like that. These guys are sitting, they're flat lying. And they're doing this with a straight face and like, man, this is what's really happened. I can't believe them. They're lying like a rug. Then you go to Fox and you hear contrary to what these guys just said. And Fox even says that they sort of story a lot. So, and we got one station that sort of tells the truth. And you got the other ones that are just flat lying like, they're lying like rugs. They're terrible.
That's right. I'm running out of gas. I'm going to have to shut her down for the night.
That's okay. We both are. Okay. Yeah. Yahweh bless you.
Yep.
And keep up the good works. We appreciate
it.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, thank you. Yahweh bless. All right, ladies and gentlemen, again, that was Phil in up on Daytona Beach area there with the Veterans for Peace and wearechange.org, trying to get the 9/11 truth out and the USS Liberty, and, of course, Gary out there in San Diego with his input about the scriptures and what's going on out there. Oh, man, I'm telling you, this is something else, but again, 5th of December, if the Q posts are right, we're going into a period of time here where some big, big things are going to start breaking loose. And I still say the next 5 weeks are going to be gigantic in the history of this country, the history of this world. There is going to be a great reckoning, and there's no doubt about it. Father has had enough. And the white man had better wake the hell up. Don't be looking around at the women. Don't be looking around at the children. Don't be looking around at the Jews or any other non-whites. You look in the mirror at yourself, bud. We were put here to be in charge, whether we like it or not. And I don't give a damn who the naysayers are and the ones that point fingers and you're not perfect. I don't care. The book says it. I know it. And that's all there is to it. Adam was put here to be in charge. Period. And if that group of guys doesn't get their act together pretty soon, it'll be all over. And then you don't have to worry about it, folks. The Satanists win. We go through hell and we die a miserable death. Is that what you want? Or do you think, guys, maybe we could put our egos aside a little bit? Maybe you could put some of that deep theology and piousness that some of you have? You act more like rabbis than you do Israelites. Do you think you can do that to make a difference? Come together and agree on a couple leaders and say, let's pick up our weapons and do like Gideon did or do like Phinehas did? Do you think they sat around waiting for some organization or government official to come in and solve their problems? We're the problem, guys. We're the problem. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to share your truths with our brothers and sisters around this earth. We know these are perilous times. You told us, by gosh, the scriptures are so true. This is a chaotic time. There is a great shaking in the heavens and the earth. In the Greek language, that is describing exactly what we see going on right now. You told us there'd be a great apostasy. Boy, oh boy, is there. You told us there'd be all kind of blasphemies. Yep, there sure is. Men would be lovers of self instead of lovers of Yahweh God. Boy, oh boy, if that isn't true. Stiff-necked. That's our people, stiff-necked, stubborn as can be, hard-headed as hell. But yet, you said, my remnant will come through it, and it would be much like the days of Noah. And by gosh, it sure as hell is. I don't know what will turn this around, Father, unless you do it. I've been thinking that we men could come together and straighten this out, but it's obvious that it's not going to happen. You have to, Father, you have to apply the pressure. You have to take charge. It's your world. We are your sons and daughters, and you're the only one worthy to sit on that throne. None of us are worthy. And all we want to do is fight. I'm praying you will come back soon, very soon. If for no other reason than to stop this damn bickering and arguing amongst ourselves on every minutia of your law. Everybody wants to be a cafeteria believer and pick and choose what portions they want to apply. I'm tired of it, Father. Your law and nothing but your law. That's what I want to see. Whatever it takes to get that, then please, let's get it done. Let's get it done. This is a sick, sick world we live in. Materially, spiritually, financially, it's coming apart at the seams. Rise up the righteous. I'm praying for that Ezekiel 37 army, Father. And it can't come about unless you pour out your spirit. Because you got to give us courage. You got to give us good insight and discernment and a desire to put an end to this. So strong that we don't sit around worrying about what the enemy's doing or what our retirement fund might look like if I fight back. Those things are illusions, because if this world comes to an end, or if this world goes to the Satanists, you're not going to have any of those things, folks. Your retirement, your nice house, your car, your horses, your boats, your motorcycles, or whatever you're putting your faith in, they're going to go away, because Satan doesn't care if you have those things. He enjoys taking things away from you. Be with us, Father, this next 5 weeks. These next 5 weeks are going to be so important. Pour out your spirit upon all of our men and women. And make us stand tall and stand for something and stop being such pushovers. Stop worrying about everybody else and start looking inwardly. What, as Phil said, what can we as an individual do? And may it be that you find faith, the kind of faith that moves mountains amongst our people when you get here. Forgive us our sins and guide us in all that we say and do. And we ask all this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.